You're listening to Monday Night's Arena. This beautiful village is the title of a new play to be staged at the Abbey Theatre in Dublin from next Monday. The play focuses on a group of neighbours, a selection of people from a residential association, who come together to discuss some antisocial behaviour that has invaded their community. This beautiful village has been written by Lisa Tierney-Kyo, who is with me in studio now. Lisa, the play explores some of the hidden tensions in Irish society now in 2019. What was the particular trigger that made you want to explore these issues?
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I wanted to talk about power. That was the genesis for this play. And in trying to figure out how I could do that, I kind of tracked my way through how do you get six people in a room who aren't related to each other. I found myself in a place with, you know, a residence association. And what was really important to me was to kind of explore the abuses of power that happen both on a worldwide scale and then right down to your own like neighbourhood or your street. And that was where it all came from.
Yes, because we come across the six people, as you say, and we think at the beginning maybe it's a dinner party or something because they're all coming together. But then you realise they don't have their partners with them. And then but they're all very different personalities. Give us an idea of some of the people who are at the party.
Well, they're all,
or sorry, at the meeting.
Well, one of the great pleasures about this is that I could put anybody I wanted in the room. Once I had the premise of a residence association, I was free to have whoever I wanted there, you know, like you said, without their partners. So we have six characters. Three of them are women, three of them are men, and they all have, you know, from the outset, they seem like, you know, they're on the same kind of playing field. But then as things start to progress, we realize that they all have very disparate views. They're all very sharp. They're all very funny. That was something that I wanted to get at from the beginning.
Lots of food in it, like we were talking
food,
earlier.
Lots of drinking, lots of movement, lots of business. It's a stage management's nightmare. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
So it would be fair to say that it's relationships, male-female relationships are explored, race is explored, class relationships mm-hmm. are explored.
Yeah, it was really, really important for me to put a black Irish character on stage. I feel like we have done, there's very little representation going on in theatre. And I think theatre doesn't do a great job of representation in terms of class either. And we've had some issues with gender representation and they all still continue. But for me, I wanted to make sure that there was, because I've been away for 10 years and I returned back to Dublin and it was a different city from when I left. And I feel like it's important to represent the street on the stage.
Yes, you were in New York for a number of years. Yeah. And I think you were saying there that people are very much in your face and they tell you their views. Whereas in Ireland, we're more reticent. And in the play, it takes a long time for it to bubble through what people really feel. But when it does, it kind of goes pow.
It does. And I think that this play is a result of me being in New York for 10 years and also being an Irish person. I found a way to kind of squish together that, you know, that New Yorker tell it like it is, but also understanding that Irish people like to kind of tiptoe around things. They like to go softy-softy and they don't like to offend people, whereas in New York, a confrontation is a daily occurrence. And so trying to put both of those in a play for me was actually great crack.
Yes, because I suppose the problem with Irish people is that people are very kind and very polite to each other, but this can hide a multitude of opinions. Because the problem is that there's been graffiti on a wall and the residents are meeting to know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And some people feel it's serious, other people bring their own opinions around what's written in the graffiti.
Well, the thing about the graffiti is that it's sexist. And the minute you start talking about gender, you are opening up a can of worms because people have very different views on this and kind of different levels of intensity. And I really wanted to show that. I've had a lot of really awkward, tense conversations around gender in the last few years. And it's a really triggering subject for people. And I really wanted to go at it. But I also have to be aware that Irish people don't, you know, we don't like to go at things hard. So it kind of came at it from the side.
Okay, so it builds over, an hour long, presumably,
it's
in
about,
the theatre.
It's about an hour and a half, and it's in real time.
Okay, so it's the length of a meeting of this residence
association.
Yeah,
there's no break. The actors are on stage for the entire time, and there's no scene break. So it's basically a 90-minute straight-through play.
And the actors, did they feel the tension in the room, you know, around these kind of issues? Did they have to discuss those issues around gender and race themselves?
We spent the first 2 days of rehearsal sitting around a table talking about, and I mean literally breaking it down line by line and kind of asking awkward questions and, you know, having very uncomfortable conversations about race and about gender. Which you have to do if you're going to do a play like this. If you're going to talk about race and gender, you have to have awkward, difficult conversations.
Now, you went to America, and at that stage, you said it was very difficult to get a play produced here in Ireland.
Yeah.
What happened to change things?
You know, I don't know, to be honest with you. I think getting a play on anywhere is really hard. It's hard here, it's hard in New York, it's hard anywhere. For me, I came home, I had no expectations. I really didn't. I came home for personal reasons because I needed to be at home. And New York is a very hard city. And I had no expectations. But I had been in conversation with the Abbey and they had commissioned me. But when you're a playwright, you have a lot of meetings. You have a lot of kind of like, oh, yeah, we'd love to work with you. But it actually did work out in this case. So the Abbey asked me to become an associate playwright. And then a month later, they announced a production date for the play.
Right, and that wasn't your past experience with the Abbey?
No, it wasn't. My past experience, I was commissioned once before in 2010 and under a previous director, and the play was rejected, and that was a tough one because I took it really personally and I just didn't understand it. And it was only kind of after that we looked at the statistics and looked at the numbers of what was actually happening in Irish theatre and realised, oh, wait a second, they were only producing like 22% of women playwrights at the time.
So you got very involved then in Waking the Feminists.
That's right, yeah.
And was that a key moment for you?
Oh, yeah. It was kind of life-changing, not to be too dramatic about it, but I had spent a long time kind of thinking, oh, this is my fault, or I could have done something, or what else can I do? And it was only when Waking the Feminists happened that I felt empowered to kind of say, actually, no, it's not me. There is a problem here. And then when you look at the numbers, the statistics and the data, and then you put that beside personal testimony, you realise that there's a really big problem. And it's also incredibly empowering as an artist, as a writer, and as a woman to kind of go, no, it's not my fault.
And do you find now back in Ireland, back in the Abbey, do you find that doors are open? Well, obviously this door has opened to you, but do you think that there has been a major shift, or do you just think it's the beginning of a shift?
Oh, I think it's just at the very beginning. This play is the only play I have under commission or in production. And that's it. There are no other opportunities for me in Ireland at the moment. And I don't know if there are any coming. So I'll be honest with you, I think we're at the very beginning of it.
And do you think that your attitude, the way you're working in New York, that kind of more hardened attitude you have to have, did that help you in any way?
It helps you. I think being in New York for a start for a decade will, you know, it'll kind of take the edges off you. It toughens you up in a lot of ways. And I think the trick to it is to get out before you get hardened. It definitely toughened me up and exposed me to all kinds of crazy situations. And like I was flying out to LA and pitching for TV shows and doing like nuts stuff like that. And that kind of experience just kind of makes you carry things a little bit lighter and not take everything too seriously.
So are you home now?
I'm home. Yeah, I'm home and I'm loving it.
Well, the best of luck. This Beautiful Village by Lisa Tierney Keogh runs at the Abbey Theatre in Dublin from next Monday, September the 2nd, until Saturday, September the 14th. Full details are available at abbeytheatre.ie.